There's a story told, and I can't remember where I heard it, and I don't even know if it's true or not, but it illustrates well the point, and I'm just going to adapt it a little bit for our Christmas Eve service. It's the story of a very powerful man, a very wealthy man, a very old man who finally reached the end of his life and passed away, leaving no heir. His only son had died many, many years earlier, and this man had no one left. And so it brought about a rare Christmas Eve auction. The finest artworks in the world had been collected by this man, great, beautiful pieces of furniture, an enormous mansion, a huge estate, all sorts of things, anything that you can imagine this man possessed. And so the wealthy and the powerful of the world had gathered together for this great auction. And the auctioneer stepped out, and as auctioneers are often inclined to do, decided to start with something small, perhaps even meager. He brought out a piece of artwork, not done by any sort of master, just a rough painting of this wealthy man's own son. In fact, as people looked at it, it became evident that it hadn't been done by a master at all. In fact, it was a self-portrait that the son had done many years earlier. In fact, this portrait had hung in the man's office day by day. And the auctioneer said, "What am I bid for this, the portrait of the man's son? Will somebody give me $500 to open the bidding?" Now, there were many people sitting there who were ready to bid millions for art, but everybody sat on their paddles. Then 400. No. 300. Will anybody give $300 for the portrait of the man's son? Will someone open the bidding for me at $200? $200? $100? From far back in the room came the voice. A man not dressed elegantly, not dressed in fine clothing. A man, in fact, who had been gardener at this great estate for many years and knew with what high regard the man had held his own son. He spoke up from the back and he said, I'll give you $37. He says, "That's all I've got." The auctioneer said, $37. Do I hear another bid? $37. Any further bids? 37 once, 37 twice, sold to the man in the back for $37. And with that, he closed his book and he said, "Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes our auction for tonight." Suddenly, there were all sorts of cries of dismay. People were angry. "What do you mean? Get to the real art. We've come here to buy." The man opened a letter addressed from the wealthy man, and on it it said, "Whoever will take the son receives the entire estate." And so to the gardener went the man's entire estate, great pieces of art, fine furniture, mansion, and land. The Bible says this about the gift of God, that it is eternal life to those who will receive it. It says, "He who has the son has life, and he who is not the Son of God has not life." Maybe you know what it's like to search for the perfect gift. We come to Christmas and we find ourselves thinking about the gifts that we will place under the tree. We go back to the beginning and we think of those wise men who brought gold and frankincense and myrrh. But the ultimate gift, the perfect gift, was there in that manger, the only begotten Son of God. James tells us that every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not shift like shifting shadows. And I want you just for a few moments tonight to consider this, the perfect gift of Christmas. When it comes to gift giving, the perfect gift probably should be practical. I asked Michelle not too long ago, "What would you like for Christmas?" And she thought for a few minutes and she said, "I think I'd like a vacuum cleaner." And I said, "You can't have a vacuum cleaner for Christmas." said you can have a vacuum cleaner because you need a vacuum cleaner, but you can't have a vacuum cleaner for Christmas. It's too practical. But when it comes to something practical, practical doesn't have to be boring. But practical is something that you need, something useful, something that you feel the lack of if you don't possess it. When we look at the gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ, His Son, we see that Jesus is the most practical gift of all. Now, not everybody understands that. Some people come and they look at this gift and they scratch their head and they say, I don't know what to do with it. I don't know what it's meant to do. And they walk away and say, I'll come back years later when I'm close to the end of my life. Because it seems to me that the gift of God has everything to do with heaven, but not much to do with earth. But if you think that, you've missed the point. The gift of salvation is not simply a ticket to be cashed in on the last day of life. It is intended to transform every aspect of your life, to give you new life. When the angels announced the coming of the Lord Jesus, they said, glory to God in the highest and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. Now, one of our Christmas carols asks the question, there is no peace on earth. How can this be true? The reality is, and if you've been with us over the last number of weeks, you understand this, that the peace that is offered through that Son only belongs to those who receive the gift of salvation. Because only as we receive that gift of salvation can our eyes move away from ourselves, from our selfish desire, and begin to look at what it is that God desires. The gift of God is entirely practical. It cleans better than soap, vacuums better than a vacuum. It can expunge your guilt, remove your shame, cleanse you of your sin, and enable obedience to God. The perfect gift is also rare, and being rare is sometimes costly. I've been known to be a little bit of a bibliophile. Don't be too concerned to greet it. It's not a contagious sort of thing, I don't think. A book lover. And somehow it seems to me, I remember years ago when I was finishing Bible college, a guy came to the school and he was selling these new things. They were called CD-ROMs. And they looked kind of like a CD, but you would put them into your computer or a special drive on your computer. And believe it or not, they contained, he told us, 1,000 books of theology. And he said, this can be yours for only $199. And I looked at him and I said, if people came to see me in my office and they looked around and there were no books on the shelves at all and all I had was this little tiny disc on the thing, I'd say, well, there's 1,000 books on that disc. It wouldn't be very impressive. So I passed on the CD-ROM and began collecting books. And in fact, there are many books that can be had if you go on online to certain websites. You can find used books as cheap as a dollar. And that very same book, you can find it for several $1,000s. Well, what's the difference? It has to do with what edition it is. And when it comes to finding the perfect gift should be rare, not something common, not something easily found. What does the Bible have to say about the gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord? In 2 Corinthians 9:15, we read, thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. Or in a more recent translation, thank God for this gift, too wonderful for words. In fact, the gift of God was so coveted in the early church that there was one man who offered to pay to receive the benefits of salvation. And Peter rebuked the man. He says, may your silver perish with you because you thought you could obtain the gift of God with money. The gift of God is only received by grace, only received in humility, free of charge. Peter declares in a sermon in Acts chapter 4, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name given to mankind by which we must be saved. Not only is it unobtainable by any human effort or resource, it is of infinite price. Paul tells us this over and over again, but in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, he says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. And perhaps the most famous Bible verse of all says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him will not perish but have everlasting life." It's interesting that that forms a verse we know well, but the other side of that bracket, if you go to 1 John chapter 3, verse 16, you'll read this: "This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us." That first one, John 3:16, God's love, he gave his only begotten Son. That second side, 1 John 3:16, Jesus laid down his life for us. A rare and precious gift. Finally, the perfect gift needs to be memorable and lasting. You know, one of the most memorable gifts that we ever give to one another is the ring that's given on our wedding day. We make these rings out of gold, precious stones. Some of you may have rings that belong to your parents or your grandparents. That's how lasting they are. They're meant to remind us of that day. Something precious, something lasting. And the gift of salvation is indeed the most lasting gift that has ever been given. Long after this ring has dissolved to nothing, I will be appreciating, enjoying, and living in the gift that God has given me through Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. John Newton, who wrote that famous hymn, Amazing Grace, we all know that final verse: "When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we'd first begun." If you're like me, you maybe come to Boxing Day and feel a little bit of a letdown. All the paper has been torn off the packages and stuffed into garbage bags and thrown out on the front porch. The tree has to be taken down, all the glass ornaments wrapped up and boxed, those needles swept off the floor, and everything tucked away until next year. But the true meaning of Christmas, the gift of God, can carry the joy of Christmas far beyond Christmas Day. And if you're a person that has received the gift of God, you can know the peace that he gives, the love that he offers, not just on Christmas Day, but on each and every day as you carry on forward. I want to close with two thoughts, two conclusions that have to do with gifts. You see, we come to Christmas every year, and we come here, perhaps you come every year, because we understand that there's something spiritual about Christmas, something meaningful. But I want to encourage you to do something with the gift of God. There are two acts of ingratitude, if you can imagine them. The first, imagine that you have taken a great deal of time, you have searched to find something precious, something rare, something that is beyond cost for your loved one. You have tracked it down, you have brought together all the resources you can, and you have purchased this thing, you have wrapped it up, you've placed it there under the tree, and on Christmas morning, they open it up, they look at it, they're amazed, they're stunned, their breath is taken away, and a moment later, they reach into their pocket, they pull out their wallet and say, "Just let me pay you for this. This is fantastic. How much do you want?" That's ingratitude. That would break your heart. You can't pay for something like this. Perhaps the hardest thing when it comes to the gift of God is it has to be received in humility. You cannot pay for it yourself. You cannot earn it or deserve it. You can only receive it. Grace is not grace if it is bought by merit or effort. Jesus says, "Come unto me, you who are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest." The second act of ingratitude, of course, would be for somebody to open the gift that you had worked and prepared, look at it and say, "Well, that's very nice," put it in its box, slide it under the tree and never touch it again. It's a clear sign that the gift is unwanted. Tonight you hear the story of the gift of God, a gift that can give you new life, a gift with a practical application for every day. Will you smile and say, "That's nice," and just push it back under the tree? Or will you receive the gift that God offers through His Son, Jesus Christ, so that next Christmas and every day from now until then, you will reflect on this, the most precious gift of God, and say, "That's the day God changed my life." I can hear our kids. We're getting close to the end, aren't we? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for your precious gift in the form of a child, Lord, who would grow up to be the Savior of the world. Lord, we can't begin to understand and comprehend in these few short moments all that that means. But Lord, I pray that you might touch a few hearts tonight. Lord, with that message they've heard a million times over, but this time, Lord, let it go a little deeper that you have sent your Son as a gift, the gift of grace that can save us, that can change our lives. Father, for the one who is here, who is hungry, who is searching, Lord, I pray that they might find the hope that they seek in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we ask your blessing on each one this evening as they go home. In Jesus' name, amen.